Welcome back into the La Crosse Tribune UWL Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. I am your host and the beat writer here for the Tribune for UWL football and other sports as well. Happy Labor Day to everybody listening to this one on Monday. Long weekend here for everybody. That's always a good time. So we're recording this on Sunday after UWL's big win at Luther. 52-21 to start off the season for the Eagles. Can't say it was too much of a surprise, but that was a good win for lacrosse overall, just to really kind of make their presence known and kind of set their identity of the offense and kind of get things rolling with a really young team like they have. It was a good start for a lot of positions, and we'll get into all that in a couple of minutes here. But first thing I want to jump to is something I promised you last week, and we got it done. We are on iTunes now. So if you're an Apple person, you can get on your phone, your iPad, iPod, all those different things. Subscribe, please share it, review it, give some feedback. I want to eventually later on in the season get some Q&A, some mailbag type of things. So if you have a couple of questions or anything like that, shoot it there or on email, sports@lacrossetribune.com. You can still listen to the podcast on lacrossetribune.com. We'll post it on both places, but I know just podcast-wise, it's sometimes easier if it's just on your phone and you don't have to go through the process of keeping that link open at lacrossetribune.com. So we'll have it both places. You can continue to listen to those, and I'll have it attached to pretty much every story throughout the week after it's posted. So let's do a little show rundown here for episode 5 of the podcast. We're going to talk about that blowout down at Luther, down in Decorah, Iowa. Some of the best performances. Cole Speaker comes to mind right away. We'll get to him in a second. Some of the concerns, not too many when you play pretty much everyone who traveled, and the second half was all reserve players for the most part. But a couple of things kind of stick out. And the overall trip down there, I mean, it's the last of a 4-game series between Luther and lacrosse. I know Mike Schmidt was talking about how he really wanted to continue it, just didn't work out for the new Luther staff down there under Caleb Padilla. So probably not going to see this matchup for a while if, 5-10 years down the road, maybe Luther wants to start that back up. But just the way things are going for their conference, then the now American Rivers Conference, they're going to have less and less non-conference games as they go along. So be interesting to see how that ends up playing out. But like I said, we're on iTunes, so that's a good start for that. Looking at the rest of the week before we jump into the Luther game, I'm going to be talking to the running backs in the next couple of days about their big start for the season. Ended up with 208 rushing yards. It was a big showing in the debut and just a identity shift, I would say, for the offense. Being able to run the ball a little more consistently is going to be a key factor this season. It doesn't matter how good Ben Schramsky is at quarterback. If they can't run the ball against some of those great defenses they're going to play in the conference season, it's going to be really tough to win those games. But another podcast, will come up Wednesday or Thursday previewing the Illinois-Wesleyan game. And in my opinion, the biggest game they're going to play before Whitewater, and probably the toughest opponent they're going to have outside of Whitewater and Oshkosh this season. You can throw Platteville in there too, but Illinois Wesleyan on the road is a really tough game. We'll get into that later in the week. And then Saturday, for those of you that can get the physical Tribune and see it, we'll have a game day page like we had this week, game preview, statistics leaders, some other things around the conference, standings, those type of things, and a short feature in there as well from around the team. So lots to look forward to heading into week 2 of the season. But let's talk about the Luther game. Obviously, a big win, 52-21, like I said. A fitting end of the series, really. I mean, they won all four. UWL won all 4 games. They played against them in the last 4 seasons. Ended up outscoring them 150-61. Pretty lopsided in the scores, but I think last year was probably the first year they played, that was under Joel Detweiler. I think it was 21-7. That was a dogfight, just a really physical Luther team. Just once lacrosse got ahead on them, they just couldn't get the triple option going well enough to catch up. But the last 3 years, I mean, the scores have been lopsided, but Luther has been able to put up a little bit better of a fight before this season. This one was kind of a runaway train from the start, 42-0 at halftime. The first team offense for lacrosse went 5-for-5 on touchdowns. I mean, they just moved the ball very, very efficiently, and even the couple of times the first team offense had third and longs, they had a 3rd and 15 on the first or second drive that Ben Schramsky, the quarterback, converted with a scramble along the left sideline. So really just an efficient performance from that group. And some general thoughts. I mean, Luther, Luther looked like a very disorganized team, and that's kind of what you get when you have a new coaching staff and a lot of new players. They had, I think, when I talked to Caleb Padilla last week, he said it was 28 seniors that ended up graduating or not being with the program anymore, using up their eligibility. So he saw a lot of illegal formations, just mental mistakes that lacrosse didn't have anything to do with, you know, just not having enough guys in the huddle. Other times, the play is not coming in from the sideline in a timely fashion, causing some delay of games. Some disorganization things that eventually they're going to work out, but when you're in that first game of the season against a more talented team like lacrosse was, it's going to be a really tough task to overcome when you're not organized and not getting the play in as quickly as it could. And really, just Luther's defense against what lacrosse was running did not make a ton of sense, and I think there's a couple of great examples. One was in the first half, when the first team offense was out there, lacrosse used a couple of pistol formations with two backs in the backfield, one more in a traditional fullback sense, closer to the line than the running back behind the quarterback. And Luther really didn't make an adjustment inside the box with that. When you've got a pretty clear run formation set and you're going to have 6-on-5 or 6-on-4 run blockers versus run defenders, they didn't give themselves any chances to really even that box up, and lacrosse really took advantage of it, running the ball really however they wanted to. It was pretty clear, I think, that Luther's whole goal was to not let lacrosse's pass game beat them. And with Stramski, they still had some big plays through the air, but they really only passed when they wanted to. There's only two situations that I can think of where they were passing, and it was a third and long. One of them ended up being a touchdown to Cole Speaker. And the other one, like I mentioned, was when Stramski scrambled and got it himself. But lacrosse really just ran the ball well. A good test for the offensive line. Luther doesn't have the defensive line skill that you're going to see later on in the season for the Eagles. But just a good showing for a lot of freshmen getting their first college experience. When you see guys getting movement off the ball like lacrosse was, I mean, UWL running backs, for the most part, in the first half with the first team out there, were getting 4 or 5 yards of a pop and not really getting touched until that second level. So a good showing for them, and really a nice day all around for the running game. Some of the best performances, Cole Speaker, the tight end, junior tight end from Minnesota. He had 3 touchdowns, 2 of them receiving and 1 on a blocked extra, or excuse me, a blocked punt. Then he just out-sprinted a couple of guys that really had a jump on him. So it was an impressive performance from him. And he was a guy that Mike Schmidt, the head coach, really identified early in spring ball even that he was going to have a huge season for him. And I've always kept it in the back of my mind that if Mike Schmidt says that about somebody, it's not only probably going to be true because he's somebody that can determine the play calling and everything else like that, but he told me that about Nick Holcomb. I think it was, you know, the spring ball after the 2016 season, and then Nick Holcomb goes out and rewrites all the record books. So I think if Mike Schmidt says somebody's having a big year, it's probably an easy one to bank on. But a couple other things, I mean, the running backs as a whole, I'll be talking to them later in the week, but Austin Mankoski, the senior, coming back from a couple of broken feet. Yep, multiple feet. We broke both of them last year, but he just showed every down back potential, I think, against Luther, just really being able to run the ball in between the tackles, off tackle, and he had a couple of catches off a little swing passes and being the kind of safety receiver on deeper routes. If you have that ability from your number one running back, then you can bring in guys like Brody Gatz and Jalen Clark as counters to that, or maybe just bring in a little bit of different skill with those guys. That's going to be a really effective thing for UWL's offense. Brody Gatz, he looked really good in the short yardage. I know that's kind of his role with this running back group right now. Mankoski can do that, but I think Gatz just has a little bit more power right at the point of attack. He had 2 short touchdowns, and one of them he kind of vultured, to use a fantasy term, from a long pass that Lewandowski in the second half completed down to the 1, and then he punched it in from there. But then Jalen Clark, too. I mean, this guy has got a ton of potential, and he's shown it in the times that he's been healthy and on the field. It just, unfortunately for him, that time hasn't been very much extended because of the various injuries that he's had at lacrosse. But he ended up with getting an 87-yard touchdown run after Luther pooch punted to get lacrosse down to its own 7. And it kind of looked like a tough field position to start from. But He busted through the line, ran down the left sideline for 87 yards, ended up being the sixth longest run in UWO program history. And for those of you that know this program well, I mean, it's a long history, and it's a history that's been a lot of running. I mean, with those old Roger Herring days, too. I mean, he's a guy that liked to run the ball a lot. So to mark your name in the top 10 of the record books there is a pretty impressive feat. And then Joey Stutzman, a freshman, getting his first action in the second half. He's going to be a valuable guy down the road. He's a smaller guy. He's going to have to rely on his speed a lot, but he has the shiftiness, I believe, and you can kind of see it on tape and when you're watching the game. He has a shiftiness to make guys miss. So the ability to do that and to pick up good chunks of yards, even if he's not going to be bowling over people at the end of the run, making guys miss and getting yardage is going to be a key factor for him to continue seeing more playing time. And then overall, just switching the defense a little bit, Luther tried running a ton of different formations and a ton of different, offensive schemes overall. I mean, they would go one play in the single wing running option stuff, and then they'd go to the next three wide receivers in the shotgun and with one running back. And I talked to Rusty Murphy after the game, the sophomore linebacker, and talked about just how the defense adjusted all those things and kind of kept everything straight. And what he said basically was that they just had to talk a lot on defense and fall back on base principles. Whatever the look was from Luther, the plays kind of ended up being the same at a certain point. It was run to the left or run to the right or kind of just chuck it up off of play action. So all of Luther's points came in the second half and mostly against second unit guys on defense. Only a couple of big plays popped on the first team defense, but then they would lock in and end up getting a stop. And the nice thing is when you're playing with a huge lead like that, like the offense was giving them, 14, 21, 28 points in the second quarter, Luther had to be pretty hyper-aggressive and go for it on fourth down earlier than they would have liked to and other things like that. So when you're playing with a lopsided score in your favor, it's a little bit easier to play defense and kind of just stick to your principles and not have to really worry about it too much or worry about making a big play on that side of the ball. The trip overall, Luther's field, they got a nice field down there. It's kind of weird to look down and see blue turf. And I know when I was up in the press box listening to some of their stat guys complaining about, they got blue turf on their blue jerseys with black numbers. It was kind of hard to identify people as they're going about. But just a nice stadium down there. And it's tough that that's going to be the last time that Luther and lacrosse play for a long time because that's such a nice, easy, short road trip for everybody, especially early in the season. That's kind of what you want to do. You don't want to put the burden of a big road trip on guys that are playing their first games, but that's an unfortunate situation. That's kind of how it's going to have to be coming down the road. The funny thing, too, about Luther, their press box is actually in their cafeteria. So when you get there, hour and a half before the game, there's a ton of Luther College students eating lunch down there, or having their brunch and hanging out, and you're kind of having to move them around to start watching the football game. It was an interesting situation, but UWO fans really filled both sides of their stands. They had two little dinky stands behind lacrosse's bench that were completely full about an hour before the game, and then a lot of parents and a lot of families were hanging out around the fence, around the field. So lacrosse had a nice representation down at Luther. Talked to a couple of them on the way back to the car afterwards. Talked to some parents who I know listen to the podcast too, so thank you all for that. Just remember to share it and leave some feedback if you have some moving down the road. So that's going to do it for the show today. We're going to be back later in the week talking to the running backs and doing some other things, previewing this Illinois-Wesleyan matchup, which is going to be a much tougher test than the Luther game. As much as you don't want to be a wet blanket as a reporter, you kind of have to look at this Luther game as they got the job done. You just kind of have to throw everything out from it from a sense of how great they can be or how bad they could have gone. But just now you're looking at Illinois Wesleyan as this is the real test of where lacrosse is as a program, and we'll get into that all later this week. But continue following our coverage at lacrossetribune.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at cbartdizzle. You can email us at sports@lacrossetribune.com and get a hold of us there as well. Thank you for listening, and we will be back later in the week.